The hospitals in Ottawa, in Canada, were experiencing an outbreak of infections. C. difficile, MRSA, and other antibiotic-resistant infections. And so the hospital officials decided that for this challenge, one area of focus would be to limit the number of visitors. This was 2 years before COVID hit, when, of course, we couldn't visit at all. But clergy had these special badges with our photographs on lanyards. We could go anywhere in the hospital, and we got free parking. But we were not going to have our licenses renewed unless we underwent this extensive training program put on by the Infectious Diseases Department. They're really very important. And so we learned all about transmissions. We had masks specially fitted to the measurements of our faces. We had to practice protocols for going in and out of rooms where people were in isolation. All of this was very important, and it was very intense. And I remember that on one of the first days of this training, we were invited to wash our hands, kind of a routine ritual, something we thought we all did fairly well. Of course, we tried to do it a little better because people were watching, but at the end of this hand washing, we were handed a specially treated wipe, which was then to go over our hands and reveal all the spots that we had missed. We were embarrassed. And then we tried again. So it was clear to us on many levels that our individual actions would affect the community well-being. Everyone's personal health practices were linked to society's public health. And we know this, personal actions often have public consequences. And none of us wanted to add any additional risk to a vulnerable population that was already in the hospital. We wanted to do the best we could, of course. Our hearts were linked to our hands. Jesus was questioned in today's gospel about hand washing. This is a ritual practice that was done before eating. And we get the, well, actually we know from reading the scripture that the closer Jesus got to Jerusalem, the more he was challenged by his practices. So his religious practices. So he would be critiqued because he healed somebody on the Sabbath. He would be critiqued because he ate with all the wrong people. And he drank with them too. So here he's being critiqued along with his disciples about hand washing. Because the elders of the tradition wanted to know if Jesus and the disciples were kind of being careless about this behavior, what other behaviors were they going to be careless about? So if they didn't respect the traditions and follow the traditions of the elders, well then maybe he didn't really respect God. Maybe he really didn't respect God's law. So it could have been an interesting kind of surface level conversation. Why didn't you wash your hands? Oh, I forgot. Oh, I did it and you didn't see me. But having a conversation with Jesus is always more than we bargain for. Jesus is always going to invite us to some place deeper or to another place, or we're going to be challenged. It's unsettling. And especially because today, what he's doing is handing them a wipe. He's going to expose what they missed. And their response is not just that they're going to be embarrassed and kind of try again. They're going to get mad. And that's another story. So this gospel in Mark is also repeated in Luke's gospel, but it has a few more interesting details. There, Jesus had gone to dinner at the home of a Pharisee, and the text says he did not wash before dinner. And in Luke's gospel, Jesus says, "You clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. Did not the one who made the outside make the inside also? Your practice is linked to the things within. Do not neglect justice or the love of God." I think that the challenge for Jesus' focus was, what exactly are we critiquing? Because the externals of faithfulness, the rules, our rituals, should be tied to right practice. Otherwise, there would be chaos. The heart, he says, is connected to the hand. What had happened was that the rituals had created a spiritual kind of hierarchy, and we see some traces of that today. Who was pure or impure? Who was clean or unclean? Who was the defiled or the undefiled? Jesus is going to resituate the conversation and talk about what his focus was on the internal, what he cares most about. Biblical scholar Amy Jill Levine, who is a professor of both the Hebrew Testament and the Christian Testament, reminds us that Jesus and his disciples were Jewish, and they followed the traditional practices of the faith. Jesus is not here advocating the abandonment of the practice of hand washing, but he is insisting that the pattern of washing is to wash the heart as well. And he has a long list of behaviors that defile people, characteristics of things that come out of us. And we could add some things to that list: bullying and bias, judgment, gaslighting, ghosting. Our lists could go on and on as well. The well-being of any community's heart is promoted by good spiritual practices, by loving God, by loving neighbor, and by learning to love ourselves. And I believe we're all going to be helped by the new Center for Wellness, and also by the variety of offerings which we have in place and which Dean Kate is moving ahead with. These are geared toward helping us create a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. The Episcopal Church has a bunch of people who set the lessons for the church year. So they put together something from the Hebrew Testament, a psalm, usually a portion from one of the epistles, and the gospel. And so often, I'm handed the readings for the upcoming week, and I think that elves have been at it. And I call them the lectionary elves, because one would wonder, why would you put Song of Songs with this gospel? And so it's meant for a little spiritual discipline for the preacher also, to kind of figure out what's going on. And in the Song of Songs, the beloved is called to rise and come away, to come to a new place of fullness and abundance and of beauty. And you can almost see a hand extended. Here, come on. Come with me. One commentator said that this love poetry blurs the boundaries between humans and the rest of creation, so you can hardly tell where the human ends and the creatures and the beauty of the landscape begin. And that this is purposeful, and maybe that's a link with the gospel, the blurring of heart and hand. But it's also a deep invitation to love. So this love poetry sees with a double vision. To see the lover as a landscape, and to see the landscape as a love expression of God. So how does love invite us to cross boundaries or to see more than we could see just on the surface? How is the heart also the hand? So here's the deal. How is your heart connected to your hand? Does your ritual practice of prayer and worship draw you closer to God and to others? Or does it set you apart? Here's another memory from my time in Canada about rituals. Before group meetings or teaching circles, before any sort of ceremony or a march to Parliament Hill, First Nation elders would smudge all who has assembled. How many of you know about smudging? Okay, only a few. Okay. So what happens is that an elder, a First Nation person, would light a bunch of sweet sage. Sometimes it's tightly bound, and sometimes it's placed in an abalone shell, but it's always wafted toward those assembled with an eagle feather. And if you're on the receiving end of this and your desire is to be open to whatever comes next, you take the smoke as it is wafted toward you and you cover your eyes and your ears and your mouth, and you bring it to your heart, and then you bring it all the way down to the rest of your body, and then you turn your back, and the elder sends the smoke toward you to cleanse whatever it is you are carrying or whatever followed you into that space. That was a ritual that was very helpful to me every time, and I miss it. The hand of an elder moving in my direction so that I might be aware that I needed to be open and clean before engaging in the next activity. For many years, I have said a small prayer when I wash my hands before celebrating the Eucharist. You may have seen the priest, the celebrant, wash our hands. I don't know where this prayer came from, but it goes like this. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness, O Lord, that I might serve these, your people, with your joy. Whatever works for you is fine. Just remember that the wipes are somewhere in the room. Amen.